and welcome to the Sharp 600 podcast, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm your host, Jason Logan, and this is the podcast in which we take a week's worth of wagering and we stuff it into 10 minutes of actionable information, and we're going to get you ready for NFL Week 2. Joining me, as always, is former odds maker turned professional sports bettor. You may have heard him on places like CBS and Fox Sports and TSN and your local open mic nights around the Vegas area. Mr. Todd Furman, how's your stand-up back going? You got a tight 20 now or what?
It's not great. I'm not going to lie. Stand-up comedy, not necessarily going to be the next chapter of my career evolution any more than I'll be performing a lounge act, you know, off the strip. Ooh. Or at some of the local casinos on Boulder Highway. I'm going to stick to the sports betting thing, at least for now. Although, J-Lo, if I have more games like unfolded Sunday night between the Bills and Ravens sitting on a Ravens ticket at what I thought was a good price at Pick'em, I might be out of this industry a little bit sooner than I thought, citing mental health as the reason for my exit.
I also got burned by the Ravens. I had some good bets come in. I had Lamar for two touchdowns. I had Josh Allen run one in, and all I needed was a Ravens win to complete the old SGP. And sure enough, the Mafia went and spiked that bet right through a table. So, but we move on, you know? We got to have the memory of a goldfish here. And I will say, we had an okay run, though, with our podcast picks. You fared much better than I did, though. You had the Brian Thomas TD pick on a run, nonetheless.
Exactly.
On a run.
Just the way I drew it up. One catch, 11 yards, but he still finds the end zone on a 9-yard end around. Sometimes, J-Lo, we complain about our bad beats. That is a fortuitous bounce. Because I'm not going to sugarcoat it, not the way I imagined winning that bet in my wildest dreams.
And I will say that is a money in, money out bet, because I had Tank Bigsby to score a touchdown, and I'm sure that was going to be his touch. And they went, oh, what, we're going to trade him to the Eagles? Okay, let's not give him anything.
That's what happens. You don't produce in the red zone, we ship you out to defending Super Bowl champions.
That's right. So that's how punishment. Go get your ring sized up. But you also had the under in the first half, Falcons Bucks, and that was a great bet because that game got blown open there in the second half. So that was great. Zach Charbonnet came through for me, went over his rushing total, and also got my little bonus bet, 10-plus rushing attempts. That was plus 320. He had that one in the bag shortly after halftime. So all good there. However, I will say I did bet on the Miami Dolphins.
Well, look, so, I bet on the New York Football Giants, so we're not going to complain bad beats. We're going to call them bad bets, and we are going to close the book on week one and try and find some winners for week two.
Okay,
right?
But before we do that, we're going to ask the folks here, if you like what we're doing on the podcast, you've been listening to the Sharp 600 for a while, or if you're just new, please rate and review the Sharp 600. If you're watching us on YouTube, hey, what's up? Nice to see you. Please like and subscribe and ding all the bells. We love that, and it allows us to reach other sports bettors just like yourself, expand that reach, and give out some more winners here. So with all that out of the way, Chris, give us 600 seconds on the clock and drop the beat on NFL Week 2. Week 2 is one of my favorite weeks of wagering because you can find value in the overreactions to the opening results. And football-starved masses tend to pivot pretty quickly after Week 1. Todd, let's look at some Week 1 happenings. Let's measure them up against the Week 2 odds, and we'll see what holds water here. A little game of true or false heading into Week 2. Let's talk Minnesota Vikings in that comeback. They look dead in the water for three quarters, and all of a sudden J.J. McCarthy is Dante Culpepper in the fourth. Who are these Minnesota Vikings?
You know, I think this is a team that's going to see their stock rise as the season plays out. I mean, they're going to get healthier on the offensive line with the return of Christian Darrisaw. They're going to get some key contributors back defensively. But interesting, J-Lo, when you look at their Sunday night football game against the Falcons, 4.5-5 was the look-ahead number. It's where it opened. The Falcons have been the side to take money, knowing they may be the more desperate team in the wake of Minnesota's improbable second-half comeback.
All right, I like that because I am on the Falcons and the points. New York Jets offense, 32 points on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who saw that one coming? And Fields looked like Lamar out there. This was supposed to be a dink and dunk offense, but they had 5+ plays of 20+. Are we buying into the Jets being an explosive offense?
I won't necessarily buy into them being explosive, but I do think for the first time in a long time, the Jets have an identity. They know how they want to go out there and conduct their business, but more on the New York Football Jets a little bit later in this fine program.
Ooh, that's a double tease actually as well, because I have something for the Jets. Cincinnati Bengals, let's talk about an offense that just did not show up. Top offense in 2024, 7 yards of offense in the second half. The Browns are an okay defense here, but come on, 7 yards? Say it ain't so, Joe.
You know, Myles Garrett, well acquainted with Joe Burrow along with the rest of that Browns defensive front. We'll see if the Bengals benefit from a little bit of home cooking this week. The Jaguars were good defensively, but the Carolina Panthers not exactly in the same zip code. So I think this is a measuring stick game, not only for the Bengals offense to get back on track, but to see if the Jaguars are a contender or merely just a pretender.
All right, let's talk. I mentioned the Miami Dolphins bet. That one was over. That one was over before there was a red zone commercial. That's how quick that one was over. Danny Dimes out there running around scoring touchdowns. Indy finally snaps that week one drought. Are the Colts a real? Are they for real after that one?
You know, it looked like Daniel Jones was an adult in the room leading Shane Steichen's offense. They were able to run the football. The Colts defense exceeded expectations, kind of clamping down on Miami and that side of the ball. This Colts team's going to be an interesting one to watch. We'll see how they perform this weekend against the Broncos, but a couple of injuries in that Colts secondary could slow them down some against Bo Nix and company. But again, 3.5 on the look-ahead number here. We're looking at 1.5-2 throughout the market. So are you selling Colts stock at the top of the market, or how are you electing to handle them? I think it's a wait-and-see approach for Indy.
Those turnovers just killed any momentum.
Brutal.
That was rough. Paper Lions, probably the most overused headline this week after Detroit looked dull and flavorless against a very zesty cheesehead team in that 4 o'clock spot. The loss of the star coordinators was a worry. Now, is it a problem for the Detroit Lions?
I think it is a problem. You look at how their offense looked in week one, and again, it's an only 60-minute sample size, but there wasn't a whole lot of motion. There wasn't disguising run and pass plays that made Ben Johnson such a wizard with his play calling. High level of familiarity this week for Ben Johnson going up against his former opponent. But Jared Goff was a glorified check down merchant. 10 receptions for Jahmyr Gibbs for 30 yards, 31 of 39, less than five yards, per attempt. Not going to get it done when Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown don't factor prominently into a game plan.
And let's talk Aaron Rodgers. I think we have to bring it up. Let's talk Aaron Rodgers, what he did for the Steelers against the Jets. It was a bit surprising because going into that one, you think the Jets defense getting better with Aaron Glenn in a very run-heavy offense, as we talked about. And then the Steelers, you know, obviously a defensive stalwart for years and years, Mike Tomlin, not going to give up points, and it turns out to be a shootout. Thanks very much to Aaron Rodgers. Is it true? Is Aaron Rodgers back?
Hey, look, I'm going to give Arthur Smith some credit as well for his game plan. Aaron Rodgers did most of his damage working off of play action. They didn't telegraph all of their pass plays in known passing situations. And the one thing about Rodgers at this point in his career, he doesn't have that mobility in the pocket, so he's got to get the ball out of his hands quickly. Mm-hmm. And he got a bevy of Steelers receivers and tight ends involved. If he can be judicious spreading around, the Steelers offense takes an uptick. But I am concerned about the defense until they get healthy. That D-line, to your point, J-Lo, absolutely gashed by the Jets ground and pound.
Yeah, not what you normally see from a Mike Tomlin defense. But this is going to be something to keep an eye on as the season goes on. All right, Thursday Night Football. This is shaping up to be a really, really fun game. And the Packers picked up a statement win over Detroit last week. Now they can really plant a flag at the top of this NFC with a win over Washington on Thursday. Bet365 right now. Hanging a cheap Packers, 3.5. Total is at 48. Todd, what do you like at Lambeau?
Interesting game, and I think I'm glad we get the star power this Thursday night because, spoiler alert, Bills, Dolphins next Thursday, not nearly as enticing on paper as this one will be. But Green Bay's defense was definitely the storyline coming out of that dominant performance against the Lions. In my opinion, the offense did what was asked of them early on in that game to build a lead. Meanwhile, on the flip side of things, Washington's win over the Giants, I'd probably best describe as pedestrian. Mm-hmm. They were able to run the ball with rookie Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. The passing game looked to operate in fits and spurts, but you have to be optimistic that Debo was a focal point while Terry McLaurin starts to get ramped up there. So I'm curious to see what gives on a short week. I expect both these teams to try and commit to the ground game and shorten the game a bit. Still not sure either of these defenses are considered elite, especially when you look at that personnel and that Packers defensive backfield.
All right, got any bets for this one that you like?
I do have a bet, and it's been the quarterback room with Jordan Love. I'm going to take his rushing yards over 5.5, 3 rushing attempts week one against the Detroit Lions. And when he's healthier, he is a threat to escape the pocket. 2 offensive linemen banged up, and Aaron Banks and Zach Tom. I think Jordan Love's legs can play a role in getting us to the window.
All right. I'm also on a QB to do some damage with his legs. But I'm looking at Jaden Daniels, and I'm looking at him to score a touchdown anytime. It's plus 155. Daniels' offensive line, not fantastic against the Giants. He ran 11 times. Now he faced up this jacked-up pass rush with Micah Parsons in it. Last year, he finished second among QBs in red zone carries behind, of course, Jalen Hurts. And I think he's going to get his number called on some of these plays. I think he's going to have to scramble and make plays happen when they're inside the red zone. I like him to find the end zone there. Plus 155 seems like a nice number return on this one. That offensive line didn't look great against the Giants.
One last question for you. What did it feel like watching Micah Parsons don that cheesehead last Sunday?
Girlfriend make out on the dance floor with some dude, man. That one cut me real deep. Anytime touchdowns at Bet365. Todd, who's finding the end zone here in week two?
I'm not sure all of our listeners and viewers are going to want to stay up to the wee hours of the morning for the doubleheader on Monday Night Football, especially in the Maritime provinces. But I'm going to take Keenan Allen at a price tag north of 2-1. He is emerging as that viable slot threat that this Chargers passing attack needs. You can see him with the rapport working with Justin Herbert. And I think Keenan Allen, for the second straight week, finds the end zone. A little bit surprised his price is north of $2. I had it priced more in that plus 180 range.
All right. Sounds good to me. I'll go with Trey McBride, plus 145. McBride still very much involved. Still very much involved in this Arizona offense. 9 targets. Almost had a catch and run to get into the end zone, but Arizona takes on a Carolina defense that is horrible against tight ends. Allowed the most touchdowns to tight ends last year, allowed a touchdown to a tight end versus the Jags in week one. McBride, third most targeted tight end in the red zone last year, only 2 touchdowns. I think he busts it open here and gets in against the Panthers. 2 minutes real time, and that means our best bets for week two. And we talked about the Jets and the Bills game. I'm going under 46.5 in this game. I expect a little regression from the Jets offense. And Buffalo just dealt with a dual threat running back in Lamar Jackson. They find another one here in Justin Fields. And Bobby Babich lashed out at his defense following that Sunday night performance. I expect a little fire under their butts. The Jets have a run-heavy scheme. I think they're going to try to take the air out of the football. And you mentioned the Bills have a Thursday night game next week. If they get up, says game script here with a 6-point spread, I think they could probably park the bus and cruise to an under 46.5.
You know, fire is great in those kind of games, but I'm just not sure the Bills have the defensive personnel on the back end. But I think my play in this game does correlate with you looking to try and go under the total. I'm going to back the Jets. I know it's not the best of the numbers. 7.5 and sevens were out there earlier this week, but I still think it's 6.5. There's a little bit of value in the home underdog. The Jets, as I mentioned at the top of the show, at least have an offensive identity. They're getting a number of ball carriers involved, and you're seeing Garrett Wilson, what he can do in the passing game. Give me the Jets, plus 6.5.
All right, we've talked a lot about QB scramble. I'm going with another one. I'm going with my guy Joe Burrow, over 6.5 rushing yards. Burrow was pretty much shell-shocked by that Browns pass rush. His offensive line ranked out 28th in pass rush blocking rate. This week, though, he faces a Jags defense that did pretty well in those neutral zone battles. This is a sketchy Cincy O-line. They just lost their free agent ad in Lucas Patrick, and that could have Burrow either running for his life or saying, F it, I'm just going to do it myself. Breakaway projections at 10, some as high as 16. I like to watch Joe go here over 6.5.
And I'm going to go back to the well with a first half under with the Tampa Bay Bucs. This is an offense, in my opinion, it's still limited. Weapons that are banged up, an offensive line with questions. Matched up against the Texans secondary that's one of the best in the league. And I still have questions about the Texans' ability to find consistent balance, run pass, low scoring first half in Monday Night Football between the Texans and Bucs.
Another derivative with the Bucs. Seems like you had that one pegged before the season even started, eh? Very, very good. All right. That is it. Another episode of the Sharp 600 podcast is in the can. A big thanks to Chris behind the scenes. Good job today, buddy. Big thanks to Todd. A big thanks to Bet365. And, of course, a big thanks to you for giving us 600 seconds of your time. As always, too, we also want to remind you, like and subscribe, rate and review, do all those things, click all the bells that allow us to talk to as many sports bettors as possible. That helps us greatly. Todd, week two is overreaction week. Are there any other words of wisdom that you have for the wagering masses before we go?
For all the people that gravitated towards unders week one, you mentioned regression as a common recurring theme throughout the course of the season. I expect scoring to start to tick up again as a lot of these offenses that didn't get a ton of reps with their starting 11 to find their footing. There's no reason to panic whatsoever for 31 NFL teams unless you're a fan of the Miami Dolphins. Then it may be past the point of panicking. It's a franchise right now with no identity, no clue defensively, and a couple of defensive backs that I'm not sure would be able to make a roster for a top 25 team in the college football ranks. Yep. So if you're a Dolphins fan, close the book on the season and start to shift your focus to 2026 and beyond.
My poor daughter is a Dolphins fan, and she came downstairs with her Dolphins green on, walked down, saw that score of the Indianapolis game, and just went back upstairs and started doing arts and crafts and just tried to numb the pain. Poor girl. I wanted to ask you, too, the kickoffs a little different this year, and we saw some okay returns, solid starting field position in some of these games. How, as a sharp bettor and the sharp community and everyone that you kind of share your data with and your mind with, how are you guys treating kickoffs? Is this something that we have to keep in mind going forward?
For sure, and I think it's going to be based on team by team, identifying how a lot of these special teams coordinators elect to handle things. Look, we saw it on Monday Night Football, the Bears not knowing how to use it to their advantage. Yeah. Cairo Santos just couldn't get the ball through the end zone, and it begs the question, J-Lo, why not just kick the ball out of bounds? It's the 35 if we're talking touchback. Mm-hmm. It's a starting field position at the 40. Those seconds are precious, and I think you're going to see the smart coaches around the league really use this to their benefit. Kevin O'Connell made eye contact with Ty Chandler, went, you me, get that ball out of the end zone and make sure we get under the two-minute warning. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see how teams can use all of these rules tweaks to their advantage and gain some of those intangible edges that we know can translate into wins more often than losses.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate that insight. And we appreciate you sticking around for that one. So until then, best of luck with your bets in week 2.